back to Amir and Akum. What can you cannot say? Nice big subject. If we're not going to finish it today, I don't know when we'll finish it, but next week or week after. We've still got a way to go. Still quite a bit to do on the subject. It's quite a complicated subject. We're trying to make it as simple as possible. So just to, as I've learned, Chazara never hurts, clarifies things, just to say it over again, that Chazal made an Isur to ask a goy to do something which I may not do myself. You see, it applies not only to your Shabbos, to other places where it applies as well. And this applies to whether what's Isur for me is an Isur d'oraisa or an Isur d'rabbanan, whether it's from a Torah or from Rabbanan, it is Isur to ask a goy to do it on my behalf. And I can't, even if he does something where I didn't ask him, he did it unsolicited, and then I can't have direct benefit from what he said. We then said that there's three ways of requesting something. There's a direct request, please do X, Y, Z. The second way is a hint, but it does talk about what needs to be done. Like, why did you do this last night? And the third way is Sifu Dvarim Ba'alma, which has no problems of Amira. There's nothing wrong with saying such a thing. There, the problem would be of having direct benefit. So if you're sitting in pitch dark and you can't eat, and you tell a goy, you know, it's dark in my house, I can't eat, which is just telling him a story, and he's like, oh, why does this Jew tell me that? He wants me to come and turn on the light. And he goes and turns the light, so you didn't do anything wrong with Amira, but there is an issue that you have, that you cannot benefit from such a thing. If it's something that you could have done, but it just makes it easier, for example, to go to sleep, and you tell him, I can't sleep with the light on, then you're allowed to do that, and you're not a benefit from what he's done, and you can then have a goy do such a thing. So we spoke about the different forms of where you ask, and then we exceptions, for example, a remiza, a hint, even if it would be Velashon Tzivui, can be said, a hint in Velashon Tzivui can be said on Erev Shabbos. So you can tell a goy, on Friday, last week, you didn't turn off the lights, which means that this week I'd like you to come and do it. That is mutter, because the Amira is what's problematic, and therefore, if you do that on during the week, you avoid that problem. But telling him directly, even on a Friday, even during the week, would be awesome. So that's the basic klalim. It's nice to start again and get that clear. Then we talk about the exceptions. Like we said, remiza can be said on Erev Shabbos. Certain derabbanans can be requested from a goy if there is a dire need, whether it's tzarech mitzvah, tzarech chayle, or whatever the case may be, there's special needs. Then you can ask a goy to do a derabbanan. We call that a shvus. When there's a chayle shem b'sakana, we can do a direct request. So those are all the things that we said until now. Now we're talking about some more examples. So one of the things is getting a goy to do work for you where the work is going to take place over Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us that mutter losses the koivus in Hashemesh. Oiris the abdom of the godim the koivus in Hashemesh. Which means that you're allowed to drop off your dry cleaners just before Shabbos. And the fact that the dry cleaners is going to feed it on Shabbos is not my issue. I pay him a fixed amount to clean my suit, and he has it's a job that takes 2 hours, and I'm giving him 26 hours to do it. So essentially, he can do it 2 hours during the week, and not for 24 hours on Shabbos. The fact that he decides to do it on Shabbos is not my issue, and is not my issue, and therefore will be more. So, but the condition obviously is that you can't put him in a situation where he has to do it on Shabbos. Now, the fact that he's closed on a Sunday, and you tell him, I want it ready Monday morning, a la boker, you give it to him just before he closes on a Friday afternoon. And you say, I'm picking it up at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. Now, he is going to clean it on Shabbos, because he doesn't work on Sunday, but he does work on Shabbos. That's not your issue. He could do it on Sunday. The fact that he chooses to work on Shabbos and not work on Sunday, you don't have to worry about it. As long as you're not forcing him to work on Shabbos by telling him that you drop it off just before Shabbos on Friday afternoon and tell him I'll pick it up on Moshe Shabbos, then he has no choice. He has to do Shabbos, then it would be awesome. But there's a couple of conditions. As I said, first of all, you have to give it to him without a deadline, or at least if the deadline is in a form that it doesn't force him to work on Shabbos. So you tell him that I'm coming to pick it up in 36 hours time, and it's something that only takes an hour or two to do, so you know you've given him enough time to do it outside of Shabbos. But if he chooses Shabbos, it's fine. It also, one more thing before I say, and this restriction applies if you don't give it in with enough time to do Shabbos, does not have to do with giving it to him just before Shabbos. If you give him a job that takes 5 days to do, and you give it to him on Tuesday and tell him I'm picking up on Sunday, that means you're forcing him to do it on Shabbos. It's irrelevant of what day of the week you give it to. It's a question of whether the amount of time you've allotted him forces him to work on Shabbos or not. Another thing is that he has to do it on his own motivation, meaning when he gets paid for the job, so he's cleaning your suit because he gets paid for the job, so he's doing it for the money that he's getting. If you pay him per hour, that will be much more problematic, because then he's working for you at that time, and then he shouldn't be doing it on Shabbos. Now, it doesn't have to be that you paid in advance. It doesn't even have to be a known price. But as long as the guy understands that he's going to be paid for the job, and he's going to be paid an accepted going rate, even if you tell him that we'll negotiate on Motzei Shabbos, and we'll discuss the price of Motzei Shabbos, but he understands that you're going to be reasonable about it. So then we say that he does it for the adapted enough shaker of it. This is the Lashon of Chazal, that he does it on his own accord, which means that the motivation is given to him through the payment that you ask him. Therefore, he's doing it for the money and not for you. So that needs to be also a condition. Therefore, it will apply that as a favor. It's a question whether it would be good or not. Where we pass him is that if he offers to do it, then you can take it. But if you ask him to do it for free, then that's no good, because then he's purely doing it to benefit you and not to benefit himself. What's the difference whether you ask him to do it for free or he offers to do it for free? And the answer is that as they say, there's no such thing as a free ride in this world. And if a guy does a favor for you, you know it's because he's expecting the return. Nafdafka payment means either because he feels that he owes you one, or he wants you to owe him one in the future. But if I have a mechanic shop and he has a dry cleaners and I do his suit for free, so then I give him a discount when he brings my car out. So there's always a tit for tat. There's some sort of exchange of favors. And therefore, we still consider that when he offers to do something for me, it's considered as if he is receiving something in return, has received or will be receiving something in return, even if not monetary. Whereas if I ask him, that could be that it's not considered as a, even though it means I'm now indebted to him and I probably will do a favor in the future, but it's considered a posthum hold as much like this, and that's how we come up with it. That's not considered as he's expecting a fair compensation for it. The other condition is that even if you fulfill the conditions that he does not have to do it on Shabbos and he's get paid a proper price for it, nevertheless, he may not do it on your property. He has to do it off your property. In other words, the work involved may not be done in your home. So what would be an example of this is something that's mutter is to drop off shoes at the shoemaker or laundry at the dry cleaners, and as long as you're not asking for it to be ready in a time that will force him to work on Shabbos. So as I said, instead of telling him you're coming on Monday morning, and it's, you know, that type of job that takes a couple of hours and not more than that, with the shoemaker or the laundromat, so you're telling him you're coming Monday morning, he can do it on Sunday. But if he does do it on Sunday or doesn't do it on Sunday, it's his issue. In the mail, you tell him you're coming on Monday morning, or he tells you it will be ready on Monday, and you think, oh, there's enough time that he can do it during the week. So then fine, it's no problem, the fact that he decides to do it on Shabbos. Those will be cases that are mutter. If you have a service, a cleaning service that comes to the house and pick up your laundry and do it in your laundry room, then you can't let them do it on Shabbos for whatever reason. If you have such a thing, I don't know such a thing, but if you so you have, someone came over to your house and did laundry. I mean, I read stories in the olden days, it was like that. You had a washerwoman that came to the house and did the laundry for you. I'm reading a story about the pre-war Hungary, and it was like, once every couple of weeks. The washerwoman came, and it was like a whole thing. Everything was taken down to the river and brought into the house and washed. It was like one day that you did the laundry for I don't know how, what an extended period. So if they were going to do that on Shabbos, even though you gave them the choice to do it whenever they wanted, and they could have, but that cannot be done when they're going to do it if it's in your property. Therefore, on a more practical note, is if you need some electrical work done, for example, plumbing work, and you call in an electrician or a plumber, and talk about obviously whether the service provider is Goy, and you tell him what the issue is, and you tell him that you need to get it done, but you don't have to do it on Shabbos. I want it finished by Monday or Tuesday or whatever, and he decides I have time to do it on Shabbos, and Shabbos morning he comes to your house and decides he's going to rewire the whole living room. That is a problem, because he's done it on your property, and therefore he can be asked. Even though you didn't ask him to come on Shabbos, you gave him the deadline that he could do it whenever it suits him. Nevertheless, the fact that he does it on your property, that would be awesome. An exception to Amir La'akum is in a Makom Tzav Alechaim, when there is problem that animals are going to suffer, so then we allow various Durabonon. Tzav Alechaim is in Masloikas, whether it is considered Doraita or Durabonon. Most Pasim in here that I've seen in Hilchos Shabbos hold that Tzav Alechaim is Doraita. We learn it from the mitzvah of Prisen Te'ina, which is, person is walking his donkey through the street and the donkey collapses under the weight. So you have a mitzvah to help unload the donkey, and then another mitzvah to reload the donkey, and there's all sorts of conditions for that mitzvah, whether it helps you, it doesn't help you, your friend, not your friend, whatever. But we see that we learn from there that you have to help with the unloading of the donkey, and there is this Tzav Alechaim involved, and from there there's this Mako, the Tzav Alechaim is all right from the Torah. Therefore, in order to avoid an issue Tzav Alechaim, you're allowed to do certain drabonons. Sometimes it would mean moving mukta, an animal that gets stuck in a place that is suffering, or is not going to be able to eat, and is going to go hungry because of it. The example given in Halacha is behemosh shenafal amas hamayim, an animal that fell into a water canal and can't get out. So if you can let him stay there over Shabbos and feed it over there and it will survive, that's what you need to do. But if that would not work, or the animal will suffer despite you being able to feed it in the water canal, then you're allowed to do various things in order to get it out. And that includes, if there's no other way, then includes you actually picking up the animal and taking it out, which the animal is mukta on Shabbos, but you're allowed to move mukta in order to avoid Tzav Alechaim. So those two, you have an animal that needs to be milked. A dairy farmer has multiple heads of cow, and they need to be milked, and cows need to be milked on a daily basis, otherwise they suffer pain. Therefore, what do we do in order to avoid this? We can't milk the animal on Shabbos, even though there's Tzav Alechaim, because milking is a doraisa, and you can't do a doraisa. Save yourself from a different doraisa, especially since Tzav Alechaim is a machlokes, with milking is for sure. But what you can do is, Amir La'akum, you can ask the goy to do the milking for you. There's a couple of things to take into account over here. First of all, the farmer should minimize the amount of Amir La'akum that is needed. So what I mean by that is that cows need to be milked twice a day, in the morning and the afternoon. And what they should do is that the afternoon milking on Friday should take place before Shabbos, and the afternoon milking on Shabbos should be trying to be pushed off for Moitzei Shabbos. Even though usually they do the afternoon milking in the early afternoon, if possible, it should be pushed off Moitzei Shabbos in the evening. Like that, only one round of milk for Shabbos morning do you need to rely on the head of calling on a goy. The farmer should be aware that he should, just because it's mutter for the goy, doesn't mean that in all cases he should try as much as possible to avoid having to do it. And here's an example of avoiding it, is to the second milking to have done after Shabbos goes out. A Jew is allowed to go watch the milking, whether it's for to make a challah Yisrael, or even just keep an eye on the walk off of the milk, as long as the Jew doesn't discuss the employment with the goy, meaning he doesn't discuss how much pay him and to do. They can talk about the malachas, they can talk about the news and the politics, not suggested, but can. And talk about the weather, which is a nice neutral subject, but not to talk about the inyonim of his employment. The goy can be asked to do all malachas that are involved in milking, including the preparation and the cleaning of the udder, and whatever might need to be done, whatever the Jew himself for sure can do, he can tell him, and those things that asking for a Jew to do. If he tells the guy to do it, he should tell him the death sip of wearing the armada. If you don't clean it out, it will never get. The milk will be, might have bacteria in it. He understands that he needs to do the regular cleaning, so then you tell him the death sip of wearing the armor. Preferably, everything should be told him beforehand. And as we said, a hint, even Belashim Tzivoy, can be done on a Friday. So if you organize, one should get hold of a goy before Shabbos, organize with him what he needs to do, and to tell him, preferably Derech Ramiza, what melachos he needs to do, and then he can do whatever's needed, and that means even beyond the basic saving from Tzavon Lechaim, if it was done, if you told it to him in the Derech Hefer. So, therefore, not only can you milk the cow, but say your farm belongs to a cooperative, and milk needs to be transported to the dairy in order to be refrigerated and packaged, so that it doesn't have to be poured out and then spoiled and get fluffed and cause a significant financial burden. So you can tell the goy that, you can hint to the goy on Erev Shabbos that he may do everything necessary, weigh the milk, filter it, and have it delivered, obviously by another goy, to the cooling storage, cooling facilities in the dairy. Okay. Paying a goy for work that he has done on Shabbos. Obviously, this is about work that is permissible for him to do for you, and you've asked him in a way that is permissible. But if you have that type of work, you asked him, you told him the day from his beforehand, or something that you're allowed to ask him to do, or essentially, it's all employment that was done before. So, for example, a goy who is going to wash your dishes. You're allowed to tell a goy directly, without a hint, without a supervisor armor, on Shabbos, wash dishes. Why? Because I can wash dishes. I can wash dishes, but I'm going to wash dishes. We said if he needs to turn on the light or turn on the boiler, that's his issue. And it could even be that I can have an offer. Well, we discussed it last week. But what we discussed, so obviously you're allowed to tell a guy, please wash the dishes. But what happens if it's not a guy that is in your employ or is prepared to wash your dishes without any compensation? So what about hiring a guy? You have goyim that are going to be, you have an event and you need a caterer, so you have goyim who are going to be serving and washing up and cleaning and all the rest. So to ask them to do anything that's mutter for you to do, of course you can ask them on Shabbos. What about hiring them because you want to pay them? So number one, it is mutter to pay goyim for work that they did for you on Shabbos. That's number one. Number two is you may not pay him on Shabbos. You may not even hint to him about the pay on Shabbos and say, there's money in the top drawer there, and then he takes it by himself. That also cannot be done. This brings to mind a different situation, but I'm going to leave it for there. When a person needs to go to hospital, and for whatever reason they don't have an ambulance available and they use a taxi, there's all sorts of ways that is discussed over there how to pay the taxi driver. But that would be because you have no other way out. You're in the muck of the person going to hospital because obviously they're high there. At least that is not a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. A woman who's giving birth is an example of a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. So if you need to go to hospital, so then we just try and minimize. We don't handle the money. We don't hand him the money. There will be, so we'll discuss it when we get to Refuah. But as of hiring a caterer, where it's not a question of Refuah, this is a question of paying a goy for something that's mutter to ask him to do. You may, as you said, you may pay the goy, but you may not pay him on Shabbos. You may not even leave the money around for him to take it. However, if you're giving him something in lieu of money, you're offering him, this is common, if you have a situation where you need a Shabbos goy and you don't want them to feel that you've exploited them and therefore you give them some sort of reward, so you offer them a cake or to eat or a chocolate or something that you have in the house, you give them as a gift to take home with them to the goy that came into your house, then that would be mutter to give it to them on Shabbos. It would not only would be mutter to give them on Shabbos, you could even allow them to take it out of your home. Usually you should not give a goy something on Shabbos where he's going to carry it, because it looks like you're asking him to carry it for you. You're talking about carrying in a place of a roof. So you goy wants to borrow something of yours, you shouldn't give it to him on Shabbos because it looks like you asked him to carry it. Here it becomes his, and you're giving it to him, and he's taking out his own thing. Therefore, you give him a bar of chocolate after the favor of opening the fridge on Shabbos because you left the light on. So that's fine, even if you would be leaving your house and going into a place where there's no Eruv. But in such a case, you should put the chocolate down and ask him to pick it up. Say, here, please help us with this bar of chocolate. And avoid putting it into his hand, as we spoke previously, that when a goy is going to be taking something out of your property, you don't want to be involved in the halacha of moving it from one rishus to another, which the movement of one rishus to another is akira v'hanacha, taking it out of one place and placing it in another, is the completion of the movement of the item. So if I pick it up and give it to his hand and he takes it out, so I've done the first stage of the movement, and although that's not a chiyuv d'oraisa, but it's already part of it, we want to put the one. It's true, if the guy is standing still and you place it in his hand and now he starts walking, we call that the akira, but therefore it is only a recommended behavior that you should get the guy to pick it up and not put it in his hand, because most possible when he moves off is the beginning of the movement, is the akira, not what you put in his hand. Nevertheless, they prefer that should be the way it should be done, that you don't pick it up yourself, but rather get the goy. So, as we said, you can pay a goy for work that he did, which means, obviously, that you can hire him. You can't hire him on Shabbos. Even if you don't discuss payment and you don't pay him, you just ask him, can you please come? And he knows that means he's going to be paid for what he does, but that you're hiring him for some work. That discussion cannot take place on Shabbos, but you can hire him on Erev Shabbos, tell him, please come to my house and be a waiter, be wash the dishes or whatever it is. You can do all these things on Erev Shabbos, you can come and do it. And then after Shabbos, before Shabbos, you can pay him. And even if you hired him during the week, but you didn't discuss payment, don't discuss payment on Shabbos. The interesting halacha that Shmuel Shabbos adds in this section, and he says that if you have a neighborhood goy shel Shabbos, and by the gun they have an official designated goy, that they had a chida that he lived in for Shabbos, and he had a car with a sign on top, goy shel Shabbos, and everybody knew that he was a goy that went straight to find him, and he was paid by the community for his work, so that's fine, they hire him before Shabbos and the paint board is done, and hopefully everybody who asked you what they were allowed to ask him, how they're allowed to ask him. Mm-hmm. Now comes a thing that the community members want to keep tabs on what he's done. A, they want to find out how efficient it is, and they want to know how often he gets called out in order to improve the service, and so should have to edit if there are future situations that they can keep tab on what's going on. So it says that it's mutter to ask the goy to keep a journal he's going to write on Shabbos of all the calls and what happened later on, if the purpose is for to'elis of the future calls, which has a heter, because obviously he gets called out for things that are mutter to be called out, like for Cholish and Sakana, then it will be mutter to ask him even to do ksiva for you on Shabbos in order to keep the service running in the future. Now, what about you have an ozeret, you have a person who is hired to come to your house on a regular basis for a fixed amount of time every day, whether it's like we had where I grew up in South Africa, you had an in-house employee that lived on the premises and was available 8 to 10 hours a day, or whether it's someone who's out of the house and comes for a certain amount of hours, and they come on Shabbos as well. So what is the din about getting them to do things for you on Shabbos? So obviously, as you said, you can hire a goy, you can pay a goy for work that does Shabbos, so you can have your ozeret come in on Shabbos morning, no problem, Monday, Friday, Shabbos, whatever you want, they can come in Shabbos morning. What can you get them to do on Shabbos morning? Only things that yourself can get the bed and set the table and wash the dishes and those type of things. But if your ozeret is the type that also does your mending of your clothing and sewing, so you cannot get her to do the sewing on Shabbos, even if she has her own rooms that she stays in. Nevertheless, that still doesn't make it mutter to get her to do your menachas or the also for yourself. One also needs to take into account if the goy that you have, as I said, in this country where we pay our ozeret per hour and every hour is expensive and we work it out carefully. We don't usually have the type of thing that an ozeret offers to do something. There's always enough stuff to be done. You're happy when you get that done. But where I grew up, where you had help in the house that was there many hours, and you get them to do a lot of extra things, their task was to look after the house, look after the the domestic issues in the house, which meant they would sweep and they would do the laundry and they would set the table and wash the dishes and make the beds. And as I said, they would do the laundry. So what happens if the goy decides to do the laundry on Shabbos? So we have to know, first of all, there's a couple of things to count. Why is she doing it? If she's doing it on Shabbos morning, because usually laundry is Monday morning, but she decides to do it on Sunday because she knows that on Monday there's going to be starting Pesach and it's going to be too stressful to do the laundry and get the Pesach cleaning in on Monday. So she does the laundry on Shabbos like that. She has time on Monday to help more with Pesach. Essentially, you are gaining from the work that she's done on Shabbos. So if she does work on Shabbos to avail herself to you during the week, then it would be that you're gaining from her work on Shabbos, her also work on Shabbos, and therefore you cannot let her do that. But if this week she gets off every second Shabbos, let us say, every second weekend, she's allowed to go. She's allowed to take the day off, and comes along her Shabbos that she's allowed to take off, and she decides, no, this week I'm staying in, because she has a wedding on Monday, and she wants to go, she wants to take the day off to go take care of her own issues. And she says, listen, I'll do all the work on Shabbos, and I think you'll get me off on Monday. So she wants to do the laundry on Shabbos, and wants to do whatever else she usually does on a Monday, do it on Shabbos so that she can take off Monday. So now it's for her own benefit. I'm not gaining from it that she worked on Shabbos, because I've got to give her off one day this week, and she wants to take off Monday instead of Shabbos, so it's for her benefit. So here we say that as the work goes, it's mutter for her to do that, because I'm not gaining from it that she chooses to do the Melacha HaAsura on Shabbos. The problem is that if it's laundry, so the laundry, the washing machine is in your laundry room, which is part of your house, you can't get it to do that. You can't get it to do a Melacha HaAsura on your property. But if part of her job description would be to do the mending of the clothing, and she wants to take it to her quarters, whether she has, we have in South Africa, have an outhouse, but it doesn't have to be that. If you have a room in your house, which is considered her room, and for her use only, and public knows that this is the where she stays, and whatever she does in that room is for herself. So you have a yechida attached to your apartment, be a little bit more practical on how we live here in Eretz Yisrael. You have a yechida that's attached to your apartment, and she lives in the yechida. So, and you know, Shabbos afternoon, she calls her relatives in Thailand or something like that, so she's talking on the phone. Everybody knows, they walk past your house and they hear talking. They hear, I remember we had, when I lived in Beit Vegan, there was a yechida that was attached to the apartment, it was rented out separately, had nothing to do with us. But unfortunately, the tenant, they did not keep Shabbos, and you hear the television on Shabbos afternoon. So no one suspected that it was my television, because they knew who was living there. There was happened to be a Russian. I don't know if she was Jewish or not. Unfortunately, maybe she might have been Jewish and just wasn't showing the mitzvahs yet. But so I'm saying the same type of thing over here. You have a room in your house where she does her stuff. So the fact that she decides to do her own ironing or watch television or talk on the phone and all the rest, no one's suspicious of what's going on. So therefore, A, there's no chilul Hashem in the fact that there's a sound coming from this room. And second of all, it's considered her domain, so that when we say that she's not allowed to do work on your property, we said that when I give laundry to the dry cleaners, the reason why I can let them do them Shabbos, obviously I've not asked them to do them Shabbos, let them do them Shabbos, is because it's not on my property. So too, if for whatever this reason, this Ozeret takes it to her room, so then it will be mutter to her. So if she has needlework to do, and she takes it to her room, and that's there, then that will be mutter, if the purpose of her doing it on Shabbos is to avail herself for her own benefit during the week, as I said. Again, if she's doing the needlework on Shabbos so that on Monday she can help you with paper cleaning or something like that, then it's for my benefit, and I'm not allowed to allow her to do that. But if she's doing it so that she can take off on Monday after, that's purely for her own reason, so then I have to take care of a separate problem, that Melacha HaSura is not allowed to be done on my property. So then we'll say that she can have it done. If she doesn't leave her room, that room is known that this is where she stays, and this is her private place. I own it, but it's her set aside quarters. Then it is more to her to take it to. another halacha is if a goy comes to do something in your house on Shabbos, obviously something which is, not obviously, if a goy comes to do something in your house which is asur, like comes to turn on the light, he sees you sit in the dark, he turns on the light, or whatever it sees that it's cold, or wants to turn on the heat, whatever he wants to do, if it's one of those things that's possible for him to do, like we said, that you have direct hana from it, and if it's direct hana from it, then it will be also to be nene. So now you also have to, not only do we discuss that you're not allowed to be nene, but before he even does it, you have to be moich. Meaning you have to tell him not to do it. If he goes and does it anyway, then we said you don't have to move out of your house, but you must tell him not to do it. So if a goy comes to your house and is going to turn on the light or turn on the heating, you should tell him not to do it. And even if it's something that you're not going to derive the direct benefit from, that there's an inyan of chilul Hashem to let a goy do a melacha in your house for you on Shabbos, and therefore you need to object. I'm just thinking, how do you get such a case? I mean, we don't have goyim roaming around our houses doing things for us. But what could be is what was common in the olden days is that you hired, the shtetl hired a local goy to go from house to house to turn on the heating. They didn't have electricity and time switches, and the fire they made on Erev Shabbos, by the time Shabbos morning came, it was gone out and the houses were freezing cold. And the only way to warm up the houses was to get a goy to come and make a fire. So we passed it earlier. We said that hakol cholin etol tzina. When it comes to cold, you treat everybody, even healthy adults, as sick people. Obviously, it's got to be cold enough that they're suffering. So if it's cold enough for an adult, or even a child, it doesn't have to be cold enough for an adult. If it's cold enough for a child and children in the house, so then you have the elderly, so then you have a heter to ask the goy to come in and make a fire. So what was common in the olden days was that they had a goy from the shtetl that was hired to go from house to house and set up the fireplaces for Shabbos morning, so it would be warm. In fact, a lot of discussion is what about Shabbos afternoon? And it says that if the fire's gone down and the house is still cold, the house is cold again, that it is, if you can't wait for Motzei Shabbos, it will be mutter even to get the goy to come in the second time on Shabbos. So obviously, as I said, it depends on the circumstance, the weather, and all this. So now, you've got a particularly warm Shabbos, like we just had a very warm January, which was not typical of our winter. It was warmer than the regular. So you had a Shabbos that's particularly warm. Now, the goy doesn't know. You've got an instruction. Go light fires from October to March. This is what you do. And there's a warm Shabbos, and so you don't need the heat. So then when the goy comes to light, you should be telling the goy, please don't light it, even though you don't need it, and you survive without it, if you're not considered having direct at all, but it's in a little Shabbos to let the guy come in and do it. So that would be just a given example. There is actually an exception to pay for the season, and could be you don't have to be moicha, but that's a separate. So this halacha, a guy comes to do a malacha in your house, you need to be moicha. Okay, this week, as I said, complicated and long, there's still more to go. Wishing you all a week.